The Corsican Brothers, from the novel by Alexandre Dumas. In the gracious living room in the Fortlike house belonging to the DeFranches, Pierre Gaudet faces Lucien DeFranches' mother. The atmosphere is tense, almost as though a great storm is about to wreak its fury. Madame in black velvet stands by the fire, the firelight throwing shadows across her proud face and her dark, smoldering eyes. Pierre Gaudet has discovered her secret, and like a hunted animal, she is on the defensive.
My friend Louis Prevost has the other half of that sword.
Why did you come here? Why didn't you leave us alone? We've never done you any harm. Go away, monsieur. Go away before it is too late.
Too late? Madame, there is some dreadful secret. Something that concerns my friend. I demand the truth.
It would have been better if I had refused you my hospitality. Perhaps it would have given the village something to talk about. But anything would be preferable to this.
To what, mother?
Oh.
Why, what's the matter?
Nothing. We were talking about... about the hospitality of the Corsicans. Is that not so, monsieur?
Yes, madame, yes.
Stand near the fire, monsieur Gaudet. It's getting very cold.
Thank you. I was telling madame how much I admire this room.
Oh, mother calls it the only civilized room in the house. Or in the village.
Our family was once a great one in Corsica, monsieur. If you follow the backbone of these mountains for a mile along the ridges, you will come across our Monte Rotondo. It is almost a ruin now, but it was built 4 centuries ago by our ancestors, the finest castle of its time.
And you continue to carry on with its traditions?
Well, a few relics gathered here are the only possessions left to us which have any value.
And my mother insists that they all go into the one room to make a show.
Well, Monsieur de Franchi, it is indeed a show. I was telling your mother how interested I was in these firearms on the wall. Especially this broken half of a very fine sword.
After dinner, monsieur, we can talk together. I will tell you everything. But now some wine, Lucien, for the gentleman.
And for you, mother. Do you know, mother, I've never seen you look so pale as you do tonight. That was a bad turn you had earlier.
I am better now, my son. Pour wine for Monsieur Gaudet and draw up your chair to the fire.
Yes.
We offer you our own Corsican wine, monsieur. Perhaps it is a vintage which hasn't the bouquet of your French wines, but Europeans generally praise it.
For you, monsieur.
Thank you. The bouquet is excellent, madame. I could be in Paris at this very moment. An exquisite glass, a good vintage, a very comfortable room, and company which takes me back to a certain house on the Rue Gobelet. I could almost be there at this moment. Almost at this moment.
Rue Gobelet, Wednesday. My love, it's 24 hours since I've seen you. I write to tell you what is in my heart. Oh, perhaps it'll offend her. Perhaps her aunt may read it first. Oh, Amelia, how am I to write to you my first letter? If only Pierre were here. He's a novelist. He can put on paper what others feel in their hearts. And yet, the greatest novelist in this world couldn't capture in print what I feel deep down here. How shall I address her? My darling Amelia. My loveliest Amelia. Or perhaps this is the most prudent. My dear, my very dear Mademoiselle Latouche.
Monsieur, you flatter us. I know you're used to very much finer food than we have offered you tonight.
What gives you that impression?
Well, monsieur, your Parisian clothes, the very best materials, your accent.
I've no accent.
Oh, no, monsieur, but you speak like a gentleman.
Monsieur Gaudet has most assuredly moved in exalted circles, Lucien. I knew by his conversation at dinner.
I had no idea that you were so observant. But it's true that we semi-successful novelists have opportunities of meeting the great...
And your friends, no doubt, have the same opportunities. Friends like the young man who resembles my son.
Yes. That young man moves in high society, madame.
Really?
He's been to court several times. He's a great friend of Victor Hugo, of Alexandre Dumas, and George Sand has spoken openly of him. He's much admired among the fair sex, too.
Well, if he is like me, monsieur, that should not be the case. The fair sex find no attraction in me. In fact, there is one who would willingly cut my throat this very night.
Cut your throat?
Yes, one of the Gadici. She is one of the celebrated beauties of Corsica. I had never seen her until the night before last. Some call her a tigress. She lives up to her name. If I had not been quick, she would have shot me dead.
Well, I can assure you that my friend is not used to such company.
Monsieur, I wonder if you would excuse me. I had promised to help Griffo this evening. We go hunting in the mountains in a day or two, and there's a great deal of preparation.
Oh, don't worry about me. I'm happy to be talking to your mother. She's a very interesting woman, and no doubt she has many interesting things to tell me.
We shall meet later, monsieur.
A handsome boy.
Yes, monsieur.
So is the other one.
I am not interested in this other one. There is no connection, monsieur.
Madame, perhaps I might be able to help you.
You can help me only if you forget what happened this night. Only if you forget that you have ever been to the house of a family called de Franche. Please, monsieur, I beg of you. I implore you.
So much has happened, madame, that I can't do that. I've learned enough that I must know everything. Louis Prevost is an adopted boy in Paris. Now I know that Louis Prevost is your son.
Silence! Keep that mouth closed.
I knew when I mentioned the broken sword before dinner. Then later, while we sat at table, I watched your son. Madame, it's uncanny. There's not only the voice, there are his mannerisms. The quick movement of his right hand when he sweeps it across his hair. The way he laughs, throwing his head back and tilting his chin. I felt my hair almost standing on end when I watched him, madame. He is Louis Prevost's twin brother.
There was only one son born.
He's Louis Prevost's brother.
Oh, Monsieur Godet, why did you ever come to Corsica? You have trapped me now. There were only two people who knew my secret. Myself and Tepita. You know by now that the De Franchi family have been engaged in a feud with the Gedici. A vendetta which has lasted throughout 200 years.
An incredible time, madame.
This is an island of feuds. It seems to be in the Corsican blood. I will not bore you with the details which concern the beginning of this feud, but I will go back to the time when Lucien and Louis were born.
Then they are twins.
Yes, monsieur. Twin brothers, separated at birth. They lay side by side as one.
Great heavens.
The doctor was forced to perform an operation. That is why, monsieur, these two boys, even though the Mediterranean Sea divides them, still live almost as one person. They are twins not only of the body, but of the mind. Perhaps of the soul.
So, I wonder. Good heavens, madame. Perhaps that might explain the strange moods which beset Louis.
Moods? Louis has these moods, too.
Yes, yes, often. Sometimes at the gayest soiree in Paris, Louis will suddenly turn to me and say, I'm in a black mood. I must go home.
A black mood. The very word that Lucien uses. But to continue. After the two boys were born, I kept it secret. We feared that the operation which was to form might not be a success. The countryside knew that there had been a birth, but only two were in the secret, the doctor and the nurse from France, a woman highly skilled. When the doctor pronounced that the operation had been a great success and that the two children were healthy boys, we made preparations to announce that twins instead of one boy had been born to the De Franchi.
But why did you separate the boys? Why is Louis Prevost living in Paris, adopted, moving in the highest circles there, when he should be here with you?
It was his father's doing and my wish. We were to hold a festival in our home. It was part of the ruin we spoke of earlier, higher up in the mountains. The night before the festival, we were so busy. My husband, myself, and five other members of the family had come to stay with us, who would join in the rejoicings next day when the news was made public that twins were born. But how were we to know that the Gedici had heard that all of the Franci would be gathered under one roof? The Gedici did not know of the twins, but they knew that one child had been born. And so they chose this night to surround the castle and wipe the Franci family out of existence with one master stroke.
Unbelievable.
When we heard the commotion in the courtyard, when we saw that there were 18 armed men who had taken us unawares, my husband thought we were doomed. But even at the worst of times, there is always hope. He had just fought in my own boudoir with one of the Gedici. He had broken his sword in two, but with his dagger he had finished the Gedici off. I had slammed the great oak door and barred it and rushed over to my babies, where the nurse, Tipita, crouched shivering with fright. With the thundering and hammering on the door rending our ears, my husband came over to us. I shall never forget his last words.
Adelia, it seems that there is no hope. They've murdered all except you and I and the babies. Already they're hammering at the door. There's only one chance. Now listen, every second counts. The secret cupboard. There is only room for one and perhaps one of the babies. Now hide quickly.
Oh, but the other baby?
The other boy belongs to Tapita. You understand, Tapita? If they ask you, this child is yours. You brought it from France with you. Now hide under the bed quickly. I'll open the door and give myself up. I'll lead them away from the room. If you're challenged later, you are to say that this is your child.
And so, my husband went to the door, uncoupled the great bolts and the bars, and gave himself up to his enemies. When they asked for me, he told them I was in a room along the hall. And so he led them away.
And you, of course, escaped.
Yes, both Tipita and I and the baby. In desperation, we took with us two pieces of a broken sword, a forlorn hope that that might bring protection against bandits. It was then in this horrible chaos of blood and vengeance that I made my decision. We were the only three left on Corsica, the only three de Franci alive. The Gedici were determined to wipe us out. I was equally determined that the Franci would live on. So I bribed Peter with my jewels to take the other son to France, to change his name, so that he would never fall to the Gedici knife or to the Gedici bullet. I have never seen Peter, nor have I heard about my son from that day to this.
This is incredible.
Lucien!
Monsieur, you may never forgive me for what I've done, Mother, but I've heard every word you've said.
So Madame's secret is out. Her efforts to protect her other son from the murderous Gedici may now be in vain. What will be Lucien's reactions when he knows that his twin brother lives in luxury in Paris? Make sure you hear the next enthralling episode of The Corsican Brothers.